there, and thank you for tuning in to this week's talk. We are so pumped you decided to join us. To get the full experience out of today's message, we recommend downloading or opening up the Church on the Ridge mobile app, where you can fill out notes and take them with you throughout the week. Without further ado, here's this week's talk.
I like the question in that video. It says, how do we look beyond? How do we see what God sees? A lot of times we only see what's right in front of us and we miss the very thing that God is doing in our life. And I'd like to stop right now and ask God to help us to see what he wants us to see. And you've got to do that personally, right? Because what God wants you to see is going to be different than what he wants me to see. And he wants you to receive something this morning in the message from God's book. So you mind just stopping for a second while I ask for his help to help us to see, and then you do that personally for you, all right? Father, God, help us, Lord, help each person in this room, my friends, to experience something greater than just coming into a room, checking a box, and going home. We want to have an encounter with you. God, we pray that your eyes would be our eyes, that we'd see beyond what I can see in the natural and see into the supernatural, see what you want to do in my life and, God, in the life of my family. People that I relate to, I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome. We're starting this new series, and it's on the beginning of a new campaign called Cornerstone for Generations. Anybody heard of that campaign before? Well, here's what we did. We added a tag to it, Cornerstone for Generations 2020. So we're extending the campaign through the end of 2020. The reason for that is that those of you who have come here since we started the campaign can join us, have a ramp jumping on place, and others of us can continue it all the way through 2020. The bottom line number, anybody know what that bottom line number is? A lot, yeah, a lot. $750,000. We raised 2.5 to almost 2.6 million already, and we need another $750,000 to take us through the end of 2020 to finish the building, to add the terrace, and some really important things. What's wild is because of the weather delays and the issues with the building, our lease runs out at the end of next month. October 27th will be the last weekend that we will be in this facility here. We will have no more church. It's been 15 years that we've been in this room or a subset of this room, and it's a long time. And on the 27th, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate what God has done for us here. Those of you that have been with us from the beginning, thank you, thank you, thank you. Those of you who have joined us in that time. Thank you, Marcus. Amen, brother. So what we're going to do is really a wanky, kind of janky fix here. We're going to move everything upstairs. We secured with the landlords the ability to rent the upstairs, not the entire upstairs, just simply what we're continuing, what we use now. So we're going to be able to continue to use that. We're going to take the children's church area, knock out a couple of walls, and we're going to be able to fit about this many. You guys are not preaching to you. We're going to just talk to you guys, right? About 200 chairs, about half the number of chairs, and it's going to be cozy, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be about 4 to 6 months, and it's going to be, you know, wild. And so I hope you stick with us through this time. You ever been doing this? You're vacuuming the rug, right? And if you're a guy, you do it like this. Okay, I'm done, and right. That'll get you to hell and back. That's no good. You get in, line, and you see this piece of fuzz over there, and you look at your cord, and you lower the handle down so you can just kind of, right? Can't get it. Like, do I breathe out the plug? What do I do? All your power is lost. God has this way of saying, you know what, if you stay plugged into me, you have all the power you need. If you stay plugged into me, you have all the power you need. And he gives us a little cord. And he'll let us go out a little ways from him. Power's back there, but he'll let us go out a little ways. But then we see something over there, kind of cool, and we go a little bit further. And then what happens? Now I'm in the dark, aren't I? I'm in the light over here, right? I'm in the dark over here. And God says, look, you get too far away from me, you get unplugged. And it's no longer my power that's working in you that's giving you the grace and the ability to do what you want to do and what you even can't do. Now it's all on you. Some of you are experiencing that now. You're going through some challenges. You're going, man, this is hard. Man, this is more than hard. I can't do this. God, where are you? It's like the old couple, been married 50-some years, they're driving down the road in his old truck, and she turns and looks at him and says, you know, remember when we used to go for those drives and you'd have your arm around me and whisper sweet nothings in my ear and tell me how wonderful I was, and I'd put my hand on your knee, and, you know, what happened to those old days? The old guy's driving his truck. He says, well, I haven't moved. God, where are you? God, what happened to those times when I felt your presence, when I felt like, man, it was really working and things were clicking? God, where are you? And you let the cord get all the way out there and you got unplugged. I haven't moved. Through this series, we're going to teach you how to stay plugged in to Christ, plugged into God, how to stay close to him. You get to that end of your rope and you wonder, where are you, God? This series is for you. Today's going to be an introduction. I don't want you to miss any of the weeks of this series. Through the month of October, as Stephen said, we're going to be celebrating. A lot of exciting things happening. In 2 weeks, the president of the Northwest Ministry Network is going to be here sharing with us, talking about challenges of building programs and frustrations that take place and how in his own life he had to stay close to Christ to get him through some of those challenging opportunities that God gives us. We're going to have a concert here in a few weeks, middle of October. We're going to have a great concert. Tim and the Glory Boys are going to be here Saturday night, Sunday morning, then Sunday night. We're going to invite you all out to come and just let's rejoice and celebrate what God has done in these 15 years. And then on October 27th will be our last Sunday in this room, and we're going to join together. So we're not going to have a 9:30 gathering or a 10:30 gathering or a Saturday night all-in-one gathering, 10 o'clock. We're going to fill this place out. We're going to rejoice. And we're going to ask some of you to help us move because by the end of the month, 3 days later, we've got to be out of this room. But we'll have some lunch together and enjoy some time of just family time or our church family time. It's going to be great. And then we'll get up into our little compact area. It's an epic time for Church on the Ridge. We're on the cusp of something new. God has taken us from what we've been in now for 15 years to a new location. And it's going to be a change. You're going to hear stories of change, different people sharing how church has impacted them through the power of Jesus. But he's taken us on this journey. And when God moves you from one place to another, there are things in the old life that he wants you to let go of so that you can hold on to something new. There are things in our church we've been doing for 15 years that many of us will want to hang on to and say, hey, I don't want to lose that. I want to lose that. I want to lose that. And God is saying, no. In order for you to experience something new, you've got to let go of that. How many of you ever seen Tarzan? Not the silly Disney movie. I'm talking the real one. Johnny Weissmuller. Thank you, Barry. Yes, me and Barry. Johnny Weissmuller would swing through the jungle and he would grab the vines and he would. What would he say? Yeah, some of you are embarrassed to do it. Oh, right? And he'd be on the one vine. As a little kid, I'm watching this. And he'd swing through there. And he'd reach out for this other vine. And I could just imagine what's going on in Johnny Weissmuller's head. I sure hope somebody secured that. I hope the prop people knew what they were doing when they tied that vine on, right? Because he's going to swing. He's going to grab this other vine. And in his heart, you've got to be imagining, is it going to hold me? Am I going to fall to the bottom of the jungle here and get eaten by a lion or whatever? Is this thing going to hold me? But what Johnny Weissmuller knew he couldn't do, he couldn't hold on to that other vine. You ever see him swinging through the jungle, Tarzan reaching out, grabbing the other vine and going, stuck between two vines? Many people in their marriage get stuck between two vines. Many people in the raising of their children get stuck between two vines. When God is calling us to take a new step, another place in our journey, we don't let go of the old to embrace the new because we're afraid. It takes faith to say, God, you sure this thing's going to hold? Are we going to be okay? We're going to be in this interim period, 4 to 6 months in a little cozy place and our kids' area. Everybody's getting jacked up. There's not a single room that's not getting messed with. Maybe the bathroom. I think the bathrooms are fine. But all the other rooms having to be messed with. Our youth are going to take the biggest hit. It reminds me of the story in the Bible where Moses is told by God, hey, Moses, I want you to lead my people out of this Egypt, out of this place where they've been living for 400 years, and I want you to take them into a promised land, a new place. And we talk about the new building. Now, how cool is it going to be? We're going from 26,000 square feet to 42,000 square feet. And the lease on this place is about the same cost as the mortgage on the new place. You're like, wow. And it's 42,000, and we're going to have enough room for our youth and our children and our preschool. And the auditorium is going to be, you know, not these little tiny ceilings and these posts in the way. This is going to be amazing. Be our own place. We can paint the walls without asking permission from the landlord. No. Paint no walls. It's not your building. And they're not quite that ornery, but, right? And it's a promised land. So, okay, we gotta go at this. So here's Moses, all excited. And you know God, if he's really God, some of you in this room are still maybe not sure if there really is this God, but by definition, if he's God, he can do anything. It's just kind of the way God works. If he's really God, then he can do anything. He could have taken those people of Israel and said, hey, guys, watch this. I'm going to put you in the promised land. Bink, bink. It's only about a 3-week walk if you walked it. Bink, bink. And you're there. Just snapped his fingers. Boom, you're there. I mean, come on. If he parted the Red Sea, it would not have been any harder for him to take, 2 million people and went, okay, now you're in the promised land. Whew, that was good. Like your new home? It was wonderful. But what did he do? He said, I want you to swing through the jungle. And I want you to take some steps of faith and learn some things. Because it's not just about you being in the new location. It's about you growing and learning that I am the God of the universe and how much you can trust me and how much I love you. Because if you don't learn that lesson, it's just like a spoiled kid. Just give him anything you want, anything you want, anything you want, anything you want. And you go, wow, that's not a good-looking kid. And you're my kids. And I want you to be good-looking kids. And so I'm going to put you through a process. And things aren't going to go well. If you remember the story, they're in the desert and there's no water. Oh, Moses, why? We want to go back. We want to go back. We want to go back. It's so tight in here. And it's my kids hate it. And this is that. In fact, I'm going to quit going to church. I'm just going back. Find me a church where they don't have this mess. And some people will say that. We will have that experience, right? Moses had it. It's been happening for thousands of years. But God said, no, keep walking with him, Moses. And God did this crazy thing where he put a cloud and a pillar of fire. And he said, when you see the cloud move, you guys move. That's my presence. That's just a representation of who I am. So you guys can kind of see it and kind of get an understanding that if you're near the cloud, you're plugged in. You get too far away from the cloud or the pillar, you find water on your own. Dig the sand. You guys figure it out. Stick near me. My spirit is with you. My power is with you. I am with you. You're plugged in. Well, it comes to a place where Moses gets to the end, right on the edge of the promised land. It's been now 40 years, long journey. Shouldn't have taken that long, but there are a lot of complainers and grumblers and whiners in the group, and God had him kept walking around until he worked it out of them. Comes to the end, says, my time is done. Joshua, you're the new leader. And I don't know if it'll be when we move into a new building, but there'll be a time when I will not be your leader anymore. I'll not be your pastor. It's time to turn it over to, some Gen Zer or some younger person. And as we look ahead, we're saying, hey, who's that going to be? And Moses looked ahead and God said, hey, start preparing Joshua. And don't any of you get freaked out. Oh, no, pastor's leaving. I told our church board, I said, maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And And I said, I don't want to be that guy that hangs on too long. But maybe, you know, the next little bit we'll start identifying some things. But there's going to be a time, and there was a time in Moses' life. And he turned it over to Joshua. And this powerful verse, some of you have it on your refrigerator, some of you have it on a t-shirt, some of you have it tattooed on your neck, Joshua 1:9. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's a powerful verse. God speaks to Joshua, says, hey, Moses is now gone. You're it, Josh. You got to take these people, get across into the new location. So be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, Joshua. Hang in there, dude. I don't know if the Lord said dude, but hey, hang in there, for I am with you. I am the Lord your God, and I will be with you. What are those last three words? Wherever you go. Wow. Unfortunately, it doesn't really fit with the whole vacuum thing. I'm over here and God's with me. I can pick up this limp myself. I got to do this in my own strength. Hey, what happened to Joshua 1:9? Be strong and courageous. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord, the God, is going to be with me wherever I go. You know, that's why people don't read the Bible. Because it didn't work. Here's what's wrong. We get these cute little verses. And I'm being a little bit facetious, like cute, because it's a powerful verse. But what we forget to do, some of us will go, hey, God, I just need my verse, need a verse, right? And we'll do one of these. Okay, God, I need a verse. Ooh. Lord, I need this for me. I need this today for me. And Judas went out and hung himself. That is a terrible verse. Oh, God, I need a verse. Give me a better verse, God. Go, therefore, and do likewise. Oh, this is... I will be with you wherever you go. What's the problem? I'm unplugged. No power. Marriage sucks. God, I put this on my fridge. I got a tattoo. And God would look at you and he would look at me and he would say, you didn't read the whole message. You don't get to pick and choose. Only the good stuff. All we got to do is go back two verses. Two sentences. Joshua 7 and 8. God is saying this. He says, look, let's see if we can see it together. Be strong and very courageous. God repeats himself. Why does God repeat himself? You ever repeat yourself to your kids? Anybody here ever have to do that? Like you just told them, then you tell them again. Then you tell them again. Be strong and very courageous. And then he says, but make sure you do everything I tell you to do. Be careful. Obey all the instructions. Verse 8. Oh, next slide. Do not deviate from them. Turn to the right or to the left. Oh, check this out. Then you'll be successful. Now, how am I successful? When I'm plugged in and I got his power flowing through me, and there's dirt and there's stuff and there's no water and there's some challenges and there's too much water. You know, that's our problem. It's too much water. You know, God, he controls the wind and the waves. Why can't he just make it not rain and still call me for like a year? Man, it's power. But what happens? God's going straight, and I'm going left. And up over here in the dark field with you guys. There's darkness over here, too. Wow. Hey, when we get upstairs, it's only going to be light. Only. No power. I deviated. God went straight. He didn't move. I did. Go to the next line. Study this book. Don't just use it as your, you know, quick fix tool. He says, meditate on it. What does that mean? Internalize it. And make it a part of you. All right, God. I'm going to allow this thing. And then I'm going to be sure. And then he repeats himself again. Make sure you obey everything I tell you to do. Just like your kids, man, you tell them again, you hope you tell them again, and you hope somewhere in there, and here's God, he's telling us, hoping that somehow it sticks. He says, man, why don't you study this? Why don't you meditate on it? Why don't you allow it to permeate your life? When I stop spending time being close to him, being connected, plugged in, what do I do? I know what you do, because I do it. I start deviating to the left, deviating to the right. And one day I wake up and I go, how did I get here? Man, I thought my marriage was going to be the most wonderful thing. Man, I had these kids and I was going to raise them, and how did I get here? Man, my job was the job. This was going to be so cool. How did I get here? And I open my eyes a little bit and I go, I'm not seeing very good. I'm only seeing what I see. I don't see what God sees. And God in his kindness draws me back. He says, Charlie, let's get plugged in. Let's get connected. Jesus repeats this exact same thing. He's coming to the end of his life. He's taking his disciples. He's going, guys, we're going to go to the Mount of Olives. If you know anything about Israel, if you're going to go there with us next year, I'm going to take you to the Mount of Olives, and you'll see the trees that Jesus wept and prayed, talked to the Father, where he said those famous words, not my will, right? I want to go this way, Father, but you're taking me this way. This way. Here looks like it's better from the way I see it right now. But God, let me have your vision. And it's the way of the cross. It's the hard way through the desert. I don't want to compare the cross to us moving upstairs, but it's going to be tight, folks. And it's going to be longer than we want it to be. But God, we're going to do it your way. We're not going to grumble and complain. We're going to say, your will, not my will, be done. And he's taking his disciples, and the very last thing he tells them, last teaching. We don't have a lot of teachings of Jesus, but here's the very last teaching before he's going to go to pray and then go to the cross. You think it's kind of important. And what he ends up doing is he ends up repeating himself a bunch of times. And you can hear him. He's going, man, this is the last thing I'm going to teach you. Maybe your child's going off to college or he's going off to kindergarten for the first time and you're telling him, look, don't sit in the back of the bus. No, it's bad things happen in the back. Sit up in the front of the bus. Remember what I tell you? Don't sit in the back, right? And you're repeating. Here's Jesus, man, this is the last thing. You guys are going to be left alone for a bit. You need a little span here where you're not going to feel me. And let me give you some instruction. It's found in John chapter 15. It's there in your notes. It's on the screen behind me. It says, I am the true vine. Some people believe that he's walking there across the Kidron Valley and he came to a vineyard. Before he gets to the olive grove, and he comes to a vineyard and he just stops. He goes, oh man, I got to give one more teaching. And you know how Jesus would do it? He would just see something. He'd just start talking about it. And the people go, wow, how does he teach so creatively? And he's just seeing what he's seeing. He says, guys, I am the true vine. Notice it's in red on the screen. If it's in your Bible, it's in red. It means that Jesus is actually speaking. He says, I am the true vine. He says, so I'm the vine. He says, my Father, capital F there. So my Father, this is Father in heaven, is the gardener. And guys, you see this? And he's looking at these kind of these branches in here. And some of them are really, a lot of grapes on them. Some are just kind of bare in there. He says, he cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So that it is even more fruitful. That's kind of cool. God's just not satisfied with little fruit in your life. He wants a lot of fruit. So it goes on. It says, you are already clean because I have, because of the word I've spoken to you. Man, you guys know the word. But I got this one lesson. I got one last instruction for you. I know you've heard me teach for 3 years, but I got one last instruction. Here it is. Stay plugged in. Stay plugged in. Don't get so far away that you're having to work in your own power. Stay plugged in. Remain in me. And guess what? If you do, my power will keep flowing through you. Guys, you're like the branches. I'm the vine. Father's God. You're the branches. And you can't bear fruit if you're not connected. You just got to remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you stay plugged in. Number one, being unplugged produces bad fruit. Being unplugged produces bad fruit. Ask people all the time, what do you want out of life? What do you want out of life? And I've been doing this now 35 years, been a pastor. I'm going to clear my throat. I'm so sorry. people tell me, they say, you know, if I could just get along with my wife, I wish I could just get along with my wife. I wish my kids would just obey me when I ask them to do something. I just wish, man, they'd follow me. I wish I'd win the lottery. Man, that's what I want out of life. I wish I'd win the lottery. Every one of them, every person, they're saying one thing. They're all saying the exact same thing. You say it, I say it. I wish I could just be happy. See, when they say, I wish we could just get along, what they're really saying, man, I just wish I had a relationship that just would bring a smile to my face instead of, just bring me down. When you're always having to worry about your kids and that they're not following you and you don't know what to do when they're away from you, like, man, kids, and so it weighs on you and you just, man, it just takes, saps the life out of you. Hey, I wish if I could just have this new, if I could just get this new job, if I could just get this promotion, this house will make me happy. This new promotion, man, then I'll have all the money that I need and I'll be happy. What we inevitably wish for, what we inevitably long for, every one of us, is what the Bible calls the fruit or fruits of the Spirit. Interesting term that the Bible uses. Fruit. You look at a tree and you go, oh, that's an orange tree. That's an apple tree. That's a pear tree. That's a kumquat tree. Kumquat's even fruit. I don't even know if I've ever had one. Thank you. Someone confirmed it. What's your favorite fruit? Strawberry, yeah. Apple. Fruit. Wow, you look at that. Wow, that's a fruit tree. Jesus said, the Bible teaches us, that the fruit of the Spirit. You look at the Spirit, and you go, okay, you know that's the Spirit because it has this kind of fruit. He says it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Wow. So if you see a tree that's producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, you go, oh, that's a Spirit tree. You know it's a Spirit tree. Look at the fruit on that tree. If you see a person and you go, man, that person is so kind. Man, they're one of the most gentle people I've ever been around. Man, you know, you want to know a loving guy? You need to talk to this guy. Well, you should see this patience of this lady. Man, she is, you can just get there and just all of a sudden just feel a sense of something else going on. She is amazing. Here's the deal. If I had these nine fruit in my life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faith, you know what? I could live in a van down by the river and it wouldn't matter. Here's why. Here's the deal, too. I wouldn't be living in a van down by the river. Because if I had these things in my life, I'd have more friends than I could ever want. If you're a student, you'd be the most popular kid in your high school. If this fruit is here, you don't have to be the quarterback of the football team. You don't have to be the head cheerleader. You'd be the most popular person in your school. Hey, have you met so-and-so? Man, she is so nice. She's nice to everybody. Oh yeah, and she helps me with those dance moves and stuff, and she's never once gotten, you know, short tempered with me. Ah, she's great. You'd have any job you want to have. Oh, you got to get this guy on your team, man. She is amazing. Now she doesn't have as much education as this other guy, but we're going to hire her. We just like being around her. Wow. You ever tried really hard to be loving, kind, patient, self-controlled? You ever just try really hard? Today's the day. You know, I'm going to be good. You ever tell your kids that? Be good. Just be good, right? Okay. I'll try to be good. Maybe you tried it. You're a kid. You tried to be good. How long did that last? A little while. Here's what we try to do. Here's what our culture tries to do. We try to take an apple, and we pluck it off the apple tree, and we tape it to our arm, so there's an apple hanging there. And we take a pear, we take it off the pear tree, and we tape it to our arm, and there's a pear hanging there. And we're walking around, people go, wow, you got some nice fruit. Wow, good-looking apple, nice-looking pear. You know, we're walking around, Wow. But what if you hang around me for about a week? Fruit flies now starting to swarm around them, right? Little brown spots starting to show up. I can try. Why? Why does that happen? Why does that fruit rot on my arm? Because I'm not a spirit tree. I'm a Charlie tree. You want a kind of fruit Charlie produces? Irritation, impatience, anger, frustration, selfishness. And you look at me and you just watch me for about a week. And you go, ooh, that's a Charlie tree. That ain't no spirit tree. And the only way I become a spirit tree is when I'm plugged in to the vine. Christ's spirit, his power flows through me. Because I can't produce this stuff on my own. All I can produce is rotten fruit. Oh, I may take a plastic apple from Michael's or Hobby Lobby or something. You see those things? They're just plastic, painted, and put it on there. And I'll call this apple a love. I'll call it sex. And I take it because I can make that one work. Hey, if you love me, you would. I take a pear and it's just kind of paint it up, make it look like a pear, but it's a plastic pear called peace, and really it's all about money. If you get enough money, you'll sleep well at night. You win the lottery, you. Another fruit hanging there, quick thrill for joy. It's not real joy, but it is a quick thrill, but it's going to rot soon, wear out. It doesn't last. Verse 16, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but man, I picked you guys. I picked you to be part of my vine. I got something great for you. I want my power to flow through you. I chose you and I pointed you. And I said, man, if you'll stay connected to me, you're going to go bear good fruit. And this fruit won't rot. What will happen to it? It'll last. Jesus never intended human beings to try to produce spirit fruit on their own. Today I'm going to be patient. No apple tree out there trying to strain to push those apples out. Just stay connected. And those apples begin to form. And you go, wow, what a nice tree. Stay plugged in. Let me go on. God's a good gardener. Number two, my Father's the gardener. My Father, he's a great gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it will be even more fruitful. You ever seen a garden that wasn't taken care of? Maybe you had all the intentions of the world to start off really strong, it's going to be great, and then, you know, about, you know, a month into it, oh, man, that thing takes a lot of work, and kind of let it go. You know, early on, you're taking people out there, hey, man, this is where I planted the rutabagas, and this is where I planted some okra, and this is where I planted some, you know, asparagus, this is where I planted some stuff, right? And all you got is a little picture of what it's going to be like. About 2 months into it, man, it is a mess. And you don't take anybody out there. Why? Because your garden's ugly. You don't want anybody to see it. Just kind of, well, I hope it just all rots away before, when winter comes, the snow will cover it or something. That's an untended garden. No gardener. Neglected. You ever seen an untended life? Somebody, you looked at their life, and it didn't take a whole lot of intuition to go, nobody's tending that garden. I mean, they got weeds, stuff rotten everywhere. And you got to ask, who's tending the garden? Well, not the good gardener. He doesn't mind getting dirty in there. He doesn't mind pulling those weeds out. He doesn't mind getting in there. Man, he takes away all the bad stuff. He loves it, man. This is his favorite job. He's a good gardener. What happens? What do we do? What do we do? We got these branches that aren't bearing fruit. We got this stuff that's not really working. The gardener comes along and says, hey, give me that branch. Give me that branch. Take care of that. Whoa, no. Whoa, sorry. That's my branch of lust. I use that one when I need it. When I'm really feeling low and a little down, just, you know, that's a little porn doesn't hurt anybody every once in a while. So that's my lust branch. You can't have that one, God. Well, how about we start with this one then? Oh, no, 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 no. That's my gossip branch. I get to the bus stop with those ladies, and they love being around me because, man, I got all the news. Man, I hear everything, and it's important because I'm an information transferer. I'm not really a gossiper. I'm a transferer. And so, you can't have that one either because, I wouldn't be popular if I didn't have the information on them. Oh, that's my shading the truth branch. Right? In order for me to make the sales that I make and continue to hit my numbers, we always got to shade it just a little bit. But, I'll keep that one too, Gardner. Thanks. And people look at us and go, who's tending your garden? And we try to keep it in the backyard or keep it someplace, and just, hey, don't look back there. Don't look at that garden. Fear keeps us saying, God, I'm yours. And we wake up and we wonder why we're unplugged, why we don't have power, why we're having to pick up the lint all by ourselves, why we're frustrated about everything. There's no love, a joy, a peace. You as a parent, you understand this. You prune your kids all the time. You're trying to prune your kids. If you're a good parent, you do it. Hey, no. We say thank you in our house. Prune. No. We share. Salmons share. That's just part of who we are. If you're going to be in salmon, we share. So no pruning. No, we don't interrupt people when they talk. No pruning. What do you call a child that's never been pruned? Wild child. We kind of make cute little names for, they're a wild child. Right? It's just their personality. No, they're an untended garden. God has no wild childs. If your child is in your home, you're going to prune it. They may say, I love my mom and dad, but I just never listen to anything they say. I don't do anything they tell me. Look at what Jesus said, verse 10. If you obey my commandments, you will stay plugged in. You'll be connected to my spirit, love and joy and peace, just as I have obeyed my Father's command. And you're going to see in just a few moments when he gets to the garden there, the Olive Garden there, and he's going to pray that prayer. And it ain't the restaurant I'm talking about. It's the Mount of Olives, right? He's going to say that prayer. Father, not my will, but your will be done. You can have these branches. And he goes, I've told you this that you may have joy, the spirit fruit. And guess what? Your joy is going to be complete. It's complete is a Greek word that means to fill up, overflow, like to top off. You ever top off your gas? You go there, you go to Oregon. The guys do their own gas. You're like, hey, just finish it up, man. Don't just lazy. Put some more in there. So I do. Click. Oh, no. There's click, click, click. Man, fill it up. Here's God going, I'm not stingy with my fruit. I want to fill you up, complete, and fill it. Overflowing. If you obey my commands. Oh, there you go. I can obey his commands. See, all the rules. Man, you want me to read this book, meditate on it, and study? And there are so many rules in here. Man, I can't do this. You're taking all the fun out of me. You know what Jesus did? He said, look, I understand you guys. Man, it's tough for you to remember stuff. So let me break it down to you. My command is this. Go to that next slide. My command is this. Next one. My command is this, that you love each other. That's it. Obey my commands. Okay, what's your commands? Come on, let me start making a list. Oh, love your wife. Love your coworker who's a putz. Love your neighbor. Oh, let me add to that one. Love your enemy. Love. How cool would your life be, your home be, if it was filled with this command? No, you can't put your elbows on the table. Okay, that's a family deal. No, but we're going to love each other. It bugs mom when you put your elbows on the table. So let's show mom love. It's not about the rules. He's a great gardener. Number three, let me close. Stay plugged in, you get what you wish for. Stay plugged in, you get what you wish for. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, on him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You're unplugged. You pick up the lint yourself. Find your own water. Make your own way. Try to make your marriage the way you want it to be. Get your kids. Yeah, it's all on you. If anyone does not remain, he's like a branch that's thrown away. He starts to wither. Man, that's an untended garden. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, check this out. Ask what? Whoa, can we put that up there? keep going. Keep going, keep going. Apart from you, nothing, he's thrown and burned. Yeah, that's yucky. It's remain to me, my words remain to you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Ask whatever you wish. Man, I wish I could just get along. Man, I wish my kids would just obey. Man, I wish I just had enough. Man, I wish I could win the lottery. Man, I wish I could get this promotion. What am I wishing for? I just want to be loved, have a sense of peace and joy, patience in my life, and some self-control. You ever seen an old withered guy on his deathbed? Got all the money in the world, the houses in the world, but there's no fruit. A lot of Charlie fruit. Ask what you wish for. He finishes with, this is to my Father's glory. This is to my Father's glory. Go to the next slide. This is to my Father's glory. That word glory is the Greek word doxa. And it's a father word that says, man, I'm proud of my kids. You ever show off your kids? You got to see my kids. They're the best kids in the world. And you bring them out, and the boys are fighting, right? And one's got a torn shirt. No, go back to the room. Not those kids. Those are the neighbor's kids. My kids are away right now. You have that sense of, man, this is my Father's glory when you're bearing fruit. When the neighbor's looking at you and Father's going, I want to show you my kids. They're bearing lots of fruit. They're really mine. You can tell they're mine because they're connected to the spirit tree, and that's the fruit they're producing. Number one reason why people say they won't go to church, it's full of a bunch of a lot of people taping fruit on their arms, acting like they're all spiritual, and it's just rotten and stinky. And God says, no, I want to fill my church with good fruit. Good fruit. Church on the Ridge. We're at an era, an epic, a new time. It's time for many of us to start asking who's tending our garden. The world's going to see us much differently when we move into our own church. Some of them are going to come and check us out and see if we're real or we're just fake fruit. Fake fruit. I want us to get ready. And to be ready. One of the things that we've done to help you out over this next 40 days is put together this devotional book. Say, how do I stay connected? The book's so big, man. I'm going to do that thing where Jesus goes and hangs himself. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to read. I don't know what to do. We give you this book. You can get it on the way out. And we've got one for everybody. It's our 40-day devotional. We're going to do it together. And we put together a soundtrack of music that will go right along with it. And the soundtrack is about 7 minutes. You punch that on. You can find it in the Apple iTunes store. You can find it on Google Play. Look at Church on the Ridge. And in there, you'll find that soundtrack. And you'll open this thing up. Allow that music to minister to you. And then just take your book. Day one. Day one. Okay. It's that long. There's a cute picture of a couple from our church in there. Good fruit going on. We're going to sing a hymn. I'm going to close. Some of you are withered. Your branches looking a little barren. Your fruit's looking a little rotten. Maybe you're feeling a little guilty right now. Here's the greatest message that Jesus gave to us. If you're tired and worn out, go to that verse, please. Come to me. Go to the next verse, Sean. Come to me, all you who are weary. And you carry a heavy burden. And I'll give you fruit. I'll give you peace. I'll give you peace. We're going to sing an old hymn, Be Thou My Vision. There's a line in it that says, may I reach heaven's joy, heart of my own heart, all to you, all to you. Give him all of you, all your branches, all your heart. Make it your prayer.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou
Like my dad said, we could really make that song our life's anthem. God, be my vision. Be the one who, as I look through everything, that you're guiding that, and I stay connected to you. I'm gonna pray for us this morning that we can do that, not just today, not just this week, but as we leave here, going forward for the rest of our lives, we say, okay, God, you can prune, you can take those things away that have no place, that aren't bearing fruit, and I'll give myself over to growing those fruit of the Spirit. And about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's pray. God, you are an amazing God, and you love us enough that you want to see us become all that you created us to be. Lord, I pray that